Today in the Catalyst studio, I have the president and CEO of the Foundation for a Healthy St. Petersburg, Mr. Randall Russell. Good to see you, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we are launching this, or we are publishing this today on the day you were doing the State of Nonprofits in Pinellas. I've read through it and there's some interesting things, but first, what jumps out at you the most that was surprising from this?
Well, actually, there were a number of things, but the scale and size of the number of nonprofits was a shock to me because it is sort of out of scale, disproportionate large. The second thing has to be, which is no shock in some ways, but to have validation around the pretty global challenge around fundraising that the nonprofit organizations are having, coupled with the low amount of unrestricted resources they have to plan, imagine, dream, collaborate, do all the other things we're wanting of our nonprofit sector to do. Those were two sort of shocking things. I'd add one more observation, which is there's a preponderance of dependence upon federal funding streams, all of which are changing. And I think in light of the fact that by 2035 or 2036, we're going to be majority-minority county, all those things, I think, overlay to say it's time for us to focus and figure out how to support and strengthen and build this sector.
Do you think that the sheer number of nonprofits being triple, I think you said, the norm played has a correlation with the under-giving that happens here?
I don't know that there's a correlation. We don't certainly have that kind of data. It's a great potential additional research question. We think this report is going to stimulate a lot more deep dives like that one. And I can't draw that conclusion from the scan and assessment, but it's a really good question to dive into. I don't know. I actually think the individual donor responds to community connection. And I think that may have more of a challenge for us given the number of snowbirds and the number of people who do not call this a permanent home.
And what are some of the other factors that lead to that discombobulation as a community in spirit?
I think the fundraising lack from an individual sector has to do with the layers of sophistication that we're able to afford around hiring professional development staff. Truthfully, it's just a matter of human resource getting the ask out. There's a great old saying that still remains true. Number one reason why people don't give is because nobody asked. So if you don't have a team of professional fundraisers, you're not going to get asked as often and you're not going to see it as an obligation and you're not going to feel like you're connected to your community. So I think it's both and. It's a little bit of the scale and the size and the absenteeism, but it's also a little bit of the, we have so many nonprofits that cannot afford professional development staffs that we're not doing as much asking as we should.
So in the number of nonprofits, a lack of acumen, I'll point to collaboration as a key tool towards being more successful. What are your thoughts from the study on how we can collaborate better as a group of nonprofits?
I wouldn't say there's a lack of acumen. I would say that there's a lack of space, time, and finance to bring about the talents that the staffs have. So there's a number of ways to get at that, but certainly that's the huge part of it. And I think one of the challenges we will continually face in our country is the dependence from which the reducing government resources, which have traditionally paid for social services, are now reliant more and more and more on the private donor. And that has happened without planning. And so how do we adjust for that retrospectively? Because it's happened to us years ago, and we've got to catch up to that. So I think both those things are pressure points.
Along those lines, in the need for funding, it seems like boards are overwhelmingly populated by people who can help with fundraising and relationships and networking, which ultimately back to fundraising. Have you seen that as a damaging factor to the skill mix on the boards?
Well, I think in general, I can't respond to that because I certainly don't know the makeup of all the boards or the board members. But what I can respond to is the general idea of trustees and board members being responsible donors. My question back would be, do they? You know, are they really contributing? That may be what the executive directors and the nominating committees are thinking is happening, but did it really change their contributed income and did it really change the transactional nature by which fundraising works? Fundraising should really be about the investment of an individual donor in a practice or an approach to a community that they see as transforming or helpful to them living in a community that they want to live in. And so how do you tell that story and make that clear to the first donor who can influence others? Well, that takes a professional, somebody who understands what a case statement is and how you deliver that and how you find out about the donor and how you figure out how to meet them. And then once you meet them, sort of how to talk to them and then how to maintain and support them. Well, those are all professional skills. And so I think we are missing the ability to hire and maintain for long periods of time those professionals because you can't do it in a year. It takes 5 years to get a decent annual fund campaign going.
Wonderful. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.